All right, this morning our passage comes from John chapter 14. So we'll be reading John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. So if you'd like to turn in your copy of God's Word with me, you can turn to John 14. And I'll be reading verses 12 through 14. But before I read, let me pray and ask for God's blessing on the reading of His Word. Lord our God, we thank you for your mighty word, that through your word, Lord, you dwell in us. Through your word, you transform us, you change us, you enlighten our eyes. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this word to encourage, to challenge, to stir up your people. And Lord, even though we may be separated through the distance of space and technology, I ask, Lord, that even through this, you would build your church for the sake of your name, for your glory, and the praise of Christ. And so I ask these things in his name. Amen. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is God's word. Well, this passage here is one of the most remarkable statements that Jesus gives. I remember reading this passage 5 or 6 years ago and being struck by the statements of Jesus here. Whoever believes in me will do greater works than I have done. So let me ask you this morning, have you done greater works than Jesus? Are you a greater works Christian? Have you done greater works than the Lord Jesus? Well, Jesus here in his word says that whoever believes in him will do greater works. It is a remarkable statement. But to understand this, and to understand the astonishing nature of what Jesus is saying here, let's consider the context for just a moment. This is recorded for us by John in his gospel. And if we go back to the beginning of John's gospel and we read through, we look at Jesus' life. Consider the works that Jesus has done. John chapter 2, Jesus turns water into wine by the word of his power. He provides for a wedding guest. Chapter 5, Jesus tells a man who's paralyzed to get up. And the man gets up and starts walking away with his mat. John chapter 6, Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds 5,000 men. Not including women and children, so perhaps 20,000 people fed, multiplied. Jesus multiplies 5 loaves and 2 fish. John chapter 9, Jesus spits in the mud and puts mud in the eyes of a man born blind, and that man begins to see. And then John chapter 11, Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus calls forth to Lazarus. He's been in the grave for 4 days. Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus walks out of that tomb. So these are the works that Jesus has been doing. And in fact, this last work, raising Lazarus from the dead, was probably done within a few weeks of this upper room discourse, of these words that Jesus speaks to his disciples. In fact, John tells us that the crowds are gathered in Jerusalem to see Jesus because they've heard about Lazarus and they've come to see this man who's raised one from the dead. And so it's in that context, as Jerusalem's all astir about the mighty things that Jesus has done, and Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do greater works. So, what are those greater works? Now, in our sermon this morning, we're going to look at three questions. I'm going to structure this around the outline. answering first, what are the greater works that Jesus is talking about? Secondly, why will you do greater works? And thirdly, how will you do greater works? What are the greater works? Why will you do greater works? And how will you do greater works? Well, first, what are the greater works that Jesus is talking about? And I want you to notice that when Jesus says, you will do greater works, he's not talking specifically, or he's not talking only to the apostles. You guys are going to do something special. Now, there were certainly many things that only the apostles did. But here Jesus says, whoever believes in me, the one that believes in Jesus, he says, will do greater works than I've done. So, what could possibly be greater than raising someone who's been rotting, decomposing in a casket for 4 days and bringing them back to life? Well, what's greater is raising someone to spiritual life. Someone who's been sitting in darkness or walking in spiritual blindness and bringing them into the light of God's kingdom. Someone who's been dead in their sins, raising them to spiritual, eternal life. That is a greater, far greater work. And this is the work that Jesus is talking about. Whoever believes in me will do the work of saving human souls. Now, perhaps you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, okay, yeah, I get it, yeah, of course, yeah. Someone being saved is greater than healing someone of cancer. But you know, if God could heal, miraculously heal my Uncle John or my cousin Mary of that terminal cancer, I mean, now that would be an impressive miracle. If God could heal this dear friend from Parkinson's, miraculously, now that would be an amazing miracle. Perhaps you think that in your heart. But we need perspective here. Let me ask you to consider, did Lazarus go back into the grave after Jesus brought him out of the tomb? Yes. He went into that grave. But on the last day, when the trumpet sounds, Lazarus is going to come back out of the grave with a new resurrection body to live forever in the presence of God. And that's because Lazarus was not simply raised physically, but he was raised with Christ. He was raised to eternal life. See, if God extends the life of someone by healing them of cancer, or even bringing them back from the dead, like Lazarus, if that person is still blind, spiritually blind, still dead in their sins, then what ultimately does that profit the person? It might give them a few extra years on this earth, but those few extra years will be years to rack up a few more sins and bring greater condemnation upon themselves in the day of judgment. See, the greatest miracle is bringing someone who's dead in their sins to eternal life, into union with God, into fellowship with Him. And Jesus says, this is the work that you're going to see happening. And everyone who believes in me will be a part of seeing people raised to new life. So, what is the greater work? The greater work is the saving of human souls. But secondly, we ask, why will the one who believes in Jesus do that greater work? Well, the answer is right here in our text. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. So there's the answer. Why will you, as one who believes in Jesus, be involved in seeing people dead in their sins come to life? People walking in darkness brought into God's kingdom? Because Jesus went back to the Father. Alright, so what does Jesus have, going back to the Father, have to do with you doing this greater work? Well, Jesus explains a little further in this upper room discourse in chapter 16. He says to the disciples, chapter 16, verse 6, because I have said these things that I'm going away, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. So Jesus says, if I go back to the Father, then I'm going to send the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will convict people of their sins and of their need for Christ. He is the one who will open their blind eyes to see the glory of the gospel, to see the great peril of their sin, and then to see the glory of salvation that is in Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, do you understand what an incredible privilege it is to be living in this time of history, to be living on this side of Pentecost? Consider for a moment Jesus' earthly ministry. Now, in terms of building the church, in terms of numbers, let me ask you a question. How successful was Jesus' earthly ministry? Not very successful. Jesus, the Son of God, who performed mighty wonders and signs, preaches day and night for 3 years. And what does he find? Opposition. Unbelief. Right? He feeds thousands miraculously, and then they come back and he says, I know you're here because you filled your bellies with a decent meal. Don't labor for the food that perishes, but labor rather for the food that endures to eternal life. Come to me for that food. And what do? They walk away. And Jesus turns to the 12 and says, are you guys going to leave too? Jesus constantly faced unbelief and opposition. And by the time of his death, we don't have an indication that there are any more than about 100 disciples in all who still follow Jesus. But then turn over to Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost, and Jesus said, wait around in Jerusalem, because I'm going back to the Father, and then I'm sending that Holy Spirit that I promised I would send when I went back to the Father. And Jesus pours out that Holy Spirit. And Peter stands up, and he's preaching there in Jerusalem, and he preaches this convicting message. This Jesus whom you crucified, Jesus is made both Lord and Messiah. And people are cut to the heart. They're convicted. Jesus said, I'm going to send that Spirit, and he will convict the world. And 3,000 are convicted, and they're converted, and they're added to the number. In one day, Peter, through his preaching, right, brings in probably more than 10 times the number that Jesus brought into the kingdom in his entire earthly ministry. That's remarkable, because the Spirit has been poured out. And this is why Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do greater works. And that's why today in America, in New Jersey in 2020, you can do greater works than Jesus did in his earthly ministry. Because Jesus has died, has risen from the dead, ascended, and poured out his Holy Spirit. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit sent from Jesus has the power to open the eyes of your unbelieving neighbor, of your unsaved family member? He does. And so this word is not only an exhortation, but it's an encouragement to the church. So, why will we do greater works? Because Jesus has ascended to the Father. He's poured out the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, at this point, perhaps you're feeling an uncomfortable tension. If the greater works are the salvation of human souls, like the bringing of people into the kingdom of God, and Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will do greater works. You will do this work. of bringing people into the kingdom, of saving lost souls. Maybe you're thinking, well, what do you mean I am going to save people? That's God's work. Isn't that God's work? God saves people. God brings people into his kingdom. How can you say that I am going to do this work? Well, consider 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. And Paul speaks these words that are probably familiar to many of you. He says, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might, what? Save some. Now, wait a minute. Is Paul having a lapse in theology? Doesn't he know that we can't do anything? God is the one who saves. Salvation is the work of the Lord. Well, yes, of course. This is the same Paul who writes in chapter 3 of the letter, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So Paul says, yes, God is the one who does the work. You are just an instrument. And an instrument, without one wielding that instrument and using it and blessing it, can accomplish nothing. And this brings us to our third point. How will you do greater works? Well, if God is the one who works, who blesses the labors of his people, if he is the one who does the actual growing of fruit, the actual saving, right, transferring people from darkness and into light, then how do you experience fruitful labor? By asking God to do it. By prayer. And this is exactly what Jesus says in our text. In verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So this is our third point. How will you do greater works? Through bold prayer. Now, I want you to notice here a couple of things. First, I want you to notice that Jesus repeats what he says here about prayer to his disciples. Right? Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then he says it again. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, some of you parents, maybe you've left your kids for a day or for a couple of days, you've gone away on a trip, and what do? Just before you leave, you get them together and you tell them the things that they need to remember, that they need to do, that you want them to do when you leave. And the things that are really important and that they're liable to forget, what do? You repeat yourself. Okay, now listen, when I get, remember to take out the trash on Wednesday. You got that? Okay, and then you turn around, remember, don't forget, take out the trash on Wednesday. And that's what Jesus is doing here. See, prayer is so important, it's vital to the work of the kingdom. And he knows that his disciples are liable to forget to pray. Right? Christians are liable to neglect prayer and to forget the importance of it. So he says to them, listen, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified by the Son. Okay, are you listening? If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So this is important. But I also want you to notice how bold Jesus invites his people to ask. Listen to those words. Whatever you ask. If you ask anything. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Well, let's first consider what Jesus is not saying. Is Jesus saying, okay, you're driving in your 15-year-old Honda with 300,000 miles, and you see that nice brand new Tesla just flying down the highway, and you say, Jesus, God, give me a new car, a new Tesla in Jesus' name. And then you can expect to have it, right? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. You know, you go to a restaurant, and the owner comes out and says, if you need anything, I am happy to have you in my restaurant. If you need anything, just ask. And you say, well, actually, the transmission in my car has kind of been knocking a bit. Would you mind having a new one put in there? And he looks at you. What are you talking about? You say, well, you said if I need anything, just ask. And he says, I'm talking about my restaurant, right? My business. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about his kingdom. Notice he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What's the direction here? Right? The direction, the point is the glory of God. And specifically, the glory of God through the expansion, the extension of the kingdom, of God's kingdom. You know, James says, you don't have because you don't ask. And then when you're asking, you ask just to spend it on your own pleasures. So this is not what Jesus is talking about. But he's saying, whatever you ask, to the end that I might be glorified, and that the Father may be glorified, the kingdom extended, ask, and I will do it. So, pray boldly. So when Jesus says whatever and anything, what is he saying? He's saying there's nothing too big for you to ask. There's nothing too difficult for you that you shouldn't ask it. To ask. So how do you pray? Do you pray big and bold kingdom prayers? Now, remember that everything that you need in order to be a fruitful laborer has to come from God. Think for a moment about the things that you perceive as barriers to serving God in his kingdom, barriers to evangelism. Oops. Maybe it's timidity. You need boldness to share the gospel with people. Where does the boldness come from? The boldness is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, you don't have boldness, ask. Ask it, and I'll give it to you. You need wisdom to know how to speak, when to speak, what words to use when you're speaking with your unsaved family or neighbors or friends or coworkers. It takes wisdom. And where does wisdom come from? Wisdom is a gift of Christ that comes to us through the Holy Spirit. And so maybe you think, well, but I just don't know how to speak about Christ. I don't know how to point people. I don't know how to answer certain questions. I just find myself not knowing what to say. Ask for wisdom. And Jesus says, I will give it to you. You need open doors to share the gospel. And so Jesus says, ask for those open doors. Right? This is what with Paul in Colossians. He says, pray for me. Pray that God might open up a door for the gospel. Right? He's following the exhortation of Christ. Christ says, whatever you ask, ask. And don't be afraid to ask big. Jesus invites his church, he invites you to ask big. Do you pray boldly for Hackettstown? And look at your church. And then look at the communities surrounding the church building. How many lost people are there? Can you imagine you're running out of chairs in the sanctuary of Church of the Covenant because so many people in the area are coming in? Do you think that is impossible for God? Do you think that is too big a thing to ask? Jesus says, whatever you ask my name, I will do it. Pray for it. Pray boldly. Right now, we find ourselves in a very unique and interesting time with COVID-19. A lot of things have been turned upside down. We are in kind of uncharted territory. So what does it look like to share the gospel in these times? How do we approach sharing the gospel with our neighbors in a context of social distancing? How do we address people who are fearful of the virus with the gospel? And these things take wisdom. But God can use this specific, this event, this current event in our culture to build his kingdom, to bring many people into his church. And so Jesus says, pray for it. Pray for it. But wouldn't that be a great work to see Church of the Covenant overflowing so much that you've got to plant a church two towns over? But Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do greater works. Because I'm going to the Father, I poured out the Holy Spirit. And because I've gone to the Father and I poured out the Holy Spirit, who convicts the world, opens blind eyes, and brings them into the kingdom, you can be fruitful instruments. But remember, right, it's God who brings the growth. It's God who does the work through as an instrument. So you need to ask. Because to be a fruitful instrument, you need all the things that only he supplies, but he promises to supply them. So as you are in your homes, separated from one another, maybe this morning, maybe next week, and maybe for the next few weeks, you can't be gathered together in the building worshiping, but you can be praying for God to do some mighty things in these times through you. So pray. Take this word, and take Jesus' words, and believe, and then pray, and watch what God will do. Let's pray. Lord, our God, we thank you for this incredible word. Jesus, we thank you that because you were willing to go to that cross, to take sin upon yourself, and then put it to death on the cross, because you were willing to go to the cross and trample on the spiritual authorities that held people captive. And because you rose from the dead to bring new life, and because you ascended to the Father, you went back to the Father, you poured out the Holy Spirit, you are doing mighty things. And we thank you that you've called us to become co-laborers with you, to become your instruments. We thank you for this promise that we can just ask and you will do great things through us. And so I pray, Lord, that you would stir up your church to believe these words, that you would stir up your church to pray, to hunger, Lord, to see your kingdom come, to hunger to see people who are lost become saved, people who are in darkness come into the light, and that you would give us the faith to seek you and to ask for these things in prayer. And we ask that you would do this, Lord, so that your glory might shine, your name might be exalted. And it's in Jesus we ask. Amen.